Praise God. Very cool. I want to preach a sermon today entitled Secrets Overcomers Know. Secrets Overcomers Know. I don't know about you, but I'm always intrigued in the scriptures about people who went through a really tough patch and came out the other side and they loved the Lord. They were faithful. They were diligent. They came out the other side. And in Hebrews 11, it says this is what the ancients were commended for. We hear the stories about these people, the heroes of the faith, that they pressed through. They persevered through trial. They shut the mouths of lions. They administered the kingdom of God. And I was thinking about a few people. Let's take David, who was hounded for 8 years for doing nothing wrong but serving the Lord. And Saul tries to kill him and then chases him for 8 years, for 4 years around Israel, and then for 4 years he's in Ziklag amongst the Philistines. And it's 8 years of just slander. He's been called every bad name, the whole of his nation. Not just one or two people, but the whole nation has turned against him. Imagine if the whole of United States was called you know, terrible person, and they come in looking for you. David had lived under that for 8 years, and he comes through, and the Bible says, and he found strength in the Lord. That intrigues me. How about Joseph, who is sold by his own family as a slave? And between being a slave in Potiphar's house and being in jail, that's a 13-year stretch. At least some of that time, he's known as the rapist. That's why he was in jail. Accused of rape. There's the rapist Joseph. And so you get this sense of how did Joseph keep his spirit buoyant? How did he stay focused on the Lord? How did he come out of jail and walk into the second highest place in the land and governmentally strong and lead a country? How did he find the dignity and the strength and the clarity through all of that? Pick him. Jeremiah is sitting in captivity because he's prophesied faithfully for years over his own nation and said, please, please repent, turn around. God's going to take you into captivity. And they said, stop saying that. God's not going to take us and God's going to bless us. And he goes, no, I promise you. And they've beaten him and try to kill him, and he's been in jail. And now, for his diligent effort, he's now part of the slaves that were taken. And he's sitting in a foreign land, and he writes the Lamentations, and he just laments. That was his ministry. How did he keep his focus? There are some secrets that overcomers know, that keeps them encouraged when circumstances are discouraging. In this morning's prayer meeting, we prayed about the prayer in Colossians 2, where Paul said, I want you to know how much I am contending for you in prayer. He's talking to the Colossians, for you and for those at Laodicea. I'm contending, I am wrestling, I'm struggling for your destiny in prayer. And he says, I'm praying for these two things, that you be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that you can have the complete riches of understanding. Now, if there are two things that I know that people need, is to be encouraged in heart and united in love. Because if you can get people encouraged and unified in love in the body of Christ, they're in a safe place. But you find people who are allowed to stay in discouragement, that bed of discouragement produces no good fruit. Think about it in your own life. When you're completely discouraged, it's very unlikely that you bring forth godliness and righteousness and beauty. You often bring forth bitterness and clamor and complaining and grumbling, unless you're superhuman, right? So one of the things that I'm just feeling like, as Michelle said to me, what do you feel like the Lord wants to do this Sunday? I said, today I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to encourage His people. So if you walk out of here discouraged, then we've missed what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, because I believe He's on an agenda this morning to encourage you, because no good comes out of your discouragement. Are you with me? So I want to talk about some of the secrets that overcomers know that those who don't overcome don't know. Are you interested? So let's start with that. Secret number one, secrets that overcomers know, is that the time of tears is for sowing seed. Sowing and reaping happen at different times or in different seasons. You don't sow and instantly reap. That's very, very weird. Oftentimes, you sow in one season and you reap in another season. And the size of the reaping is dependent on the amount that you sowed. So you're in this season, and this is the season to sow. The season changes, and you reap, but this season is connected to that season because you reap here what you sowed here. Are you with me? Now, we determine, therefore, the architecture of our future by our current sowing. We architect a future reaping, with our current sowing. So if you're in a tough time, if you're in a patch of weeping, a season of tears, it's not going well, you're not being celebrated, you're not being released, you haven't found your joy, you're in frustration, it's not easy. If you're in the season of tears, the season of tears has been set aside and designated for you to be a season where you sow so that you can reap with joy and laughter. Because typically, I want you to understand this, songs of joy and laughter accompany the season of reaping. But weeping and tears often accompany the season of sowing. So if you're in a season of tears, I got some good news for you. Pick up your bags full of seed and go out. I don't mind if you leave your front door weeping. Take bags of seed with you. If you're in a season of tears, now is the time to be sowing. Am I preaching to anybody in the room? Praise God. Psalm 126. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev, the desert. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Woo. Hallelujah. Yeah, Greg, I'm in a tough time of tears. I go, praise God. Hey, what seed have you got to sow? Let's go sow something. If you're in a time of tears, I kid you, I'm telling you a truth here. Overcomers understand this. There are going to be seasons of tears. There are going to be seasons of joy and rejoicing. And I hope that you have many good days. The Bible says if you want to see many good days, then there's some things you can do. You can minimize the season of tears. You can maximize the seasons of reaping. But I don't know anybody who doesn't have to go through seasons of tears. But when you're in a season of tears, fill up your seed bags and go sow like crazy. Because in the season of tears, you determine the size of the harvest in the time of joy. So if there's some people sitting in this room and you're weeping your way through your life right now, I want to say to you, pick up your seed and start sowing. And I'm going to tell you some of the things we can sow in this moment. So you say, well, what can we sow? That's wonderful. I get the concept. I'm for it. I get the understanding. What should I be sowing? I'm in tears right now. What should I sow? Well, number one, you should sow hope. You should sow hope. Well, I don't understand what you mean. Hope is an essential ingredient to kingdom life. See, the Bible says faith is the assurance of the things that you hope for. The absolute conviction that there are realities that you've never seen. It was by faith that our forebears were approved. That's what the voice says in Hebrews 11:1. If I can sow hope. See, the easiest thing when I'm in tears, the moment, the mood, the sense of my predicament at the moment, if I'm in tears, is that I should sow despair. I should speak out fear. I should offer my complaint. It's the most natural thing when I'm in a season of tears to want to pour out a complaint, to want to give voice. When can I just say what's in my heart? Well, now's not a good time. It's time to sow hope. Because when you sow hope, hope springing forth into maturity is faith, because faith is being sure of hope. If you sow hope and you sow hope and you sow hope, eventually some of that takes and you start to become certain of that hope. And that's where faith is. And faith always pleases God, and God always responds to faith. And so if we're going to start sowing in a season of tears, let's start sowing hope. Let's start sowing hope. So Greg, well, I'm not sure what you, just give me, can you make it practical for me? Psalm 123 says, as the eyes of a slave look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Every man in the room knows, every married man in the room knows, your wife can look at you different ways. Every married woman in the room knows your husband can look at you different ways. There is a look that shows displeasure. There is a look that shows desire. There is a look that shows contentment. There is a peaceful look. There is a stressful look. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can tell across the room, if you know, if you've been married for a while, I can look across the room and Michelle can look at, it's magnified because she's a prophet, so, but I come in home, she goes, what's wrong? What's wrong? I go, nothing, why? I just walked in the door. There's a look. Bible says we can look at the Lord in a certain way. It says, as the hand of a slave looks at the hand of its master, the slave knows I'm under the command of that master. And if he smiles, it's going to be a good day. If he's angry, it's not going to be a good day. So he says, as the eyes of a slave look to the hand of their master, as a maidservant looks to her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord. When I'm in a season of tears, there's a look, there's a way I can sow hope, say, Lord, I'm hoping in you. Because the Bible says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. There is something rejuvenating about the way we look to the Lord. I sow hope. I go, Lord, I don't understand this situation, and right now I'm tempted to complain, but I know who you are, and so I'm just looking for you till you show me mercy, till you redeem me out of this circumstance, till you pick me out of this. But my eyes are going to look upon you favorably. I'm not going to look at you with accusation. I'm not going to look with an angry, I'm going to look with hope. I'm going to look with expectation. How do you sow hope? There's a way to look at God. There's a way to speak about him. But more than me just doing it out of my flesh, there is an expectation where I say, Lord, I'm in a season of tears. It's a tough season, but I need you to generate hope inside of me. And that's what Romans says. Romans 15 says, may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by the power of your will, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when I'm in a season of tears, I go, Holy Spirit, could you just crank up the engine? Could you pull the cord and let's set the generator of hope alive in me? And I pray that you would cause an overflow of hope in me by your power. I'm not just suggesting that there's more for you to do. I'm saying, would you, in a season of tears, say, Holy Spirit, could you generate an overflow of hope so that when I come, hope is coming out of me. Hope's coming out of my spirit. This flow of God inside of me generates hope. And so I step up and I go, I'm hoping. I don't see it yet. It's nowhere on the horizon, but my hope is in the Lord. What else should you sow? Well, you should sow confessions. I want you to understand this. God remembers your confessions. The Israelites didn't enter the promised land because they said, we're going to die in this desert. God said, no, you're not. Are we going to die in this desert? He said, no, you're not. We're going to die in this desert. We're going to die in this desert. He goes, no. We're going to die. No. You're going to die? And then he eventually said, okay, you are going to die. According to your word. It's fascinating. Malachi if you Italian Malachi. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. And a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They were just talking to each other. And God listened in and wrote it down. And then he says, on that day when I act. See, there's a day that God it seems to be inactive. And then there's a day when he acts decisively. And God says, on the day that I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be for my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. When you're in a season of tears, so good confession. And you see this all over the Psalms. David says, my life is terrible. It's going poorly. There is nobody he loves. Not even my parents like me at the moment. You know, he goes, in fact, he says, though my mother and father reject me, the Lord will not reject me. He says, look around. There is no one on any side. They all want me dead. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They want to tear me apart. But I look to you, Lord, for you will answer my prayer. He's sowing confessions. He's going, I'm in a season of this is not happy for me. But I know who I believed, and I'm telling you who he is. I'm sowing truth. I sow confessions, not God has left me. God doesn't like what I'm doing. God has been unfaithful to me. No. This is a tough patch I'm going through, but my God is faithful and he'll never let me go. And he always works together for my good. And this is part of my calling. And he's going to see me through. Not just barely make it through. I'm going to be the victor over all of this because he is faithful and true. I sow confessions. If you're in a season of weeping, sow good confessions. It's got quiet. Lamentations. This is in the middle of his lament. This is Jeremiah just weeping over everything that's gone horribly wrong for the whole nation of Israel. And it doesn't look like there's any fix in sight. In the middle of that, he says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. I could dare you just go read the first three chapters of Lamentations. Every verse before this is woe and oh, and this is terrible. They are new every morning, for great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. There's some good confessions. In a season of weeping. You don't have to confess your ability. You don't have to confess that season is good. You can say, this is not a great season for me. This is a tough patch I'm going through. I'm feeling discouraged, but, and what you sow in that moment has great impact on how you're going to reap in the season of joy. One of the things that haunts me is that if I'm going through a tough patch, I don't want to be one of those sissies who collapses and goes, God has left me. He's unfaithful. He's terrible. This is good. And then season changes, and then I'm in a season of reaping. I told you he was fine. I don't want to be that guy. In the worst time, in the toughest, in the most the enemy can do against me, I want to be standing there and saying, man, this is horrible. But I love my God, and he is always faithful. And he never changes. And he hasn't left me for a second. And his eye is always on me. Amen. What should we sow? Prayers. I just want to say, season of tears, it's the best time to pray. Is anyone in trouble? James says he should pray. Season of tears, lay. Paul says the widow who's in need, she says, you know what she does? She goes day and night and she cries to the Lord. She's sowing, sowing, sowing. That season of tears, that season of need in her life brings forth because she begins to sow prayers. Says she prays day and night. She seeks the Lord. She goes after things. And then she begins to reap. All the answers to the prayers begin to come in. And then she goes out of the season of tears into a season of reaping and joy. And she goes, how did this happen? I got 100 times what I sowed. Some people in a season of tears didn't sow any prayer. 100 times 0. Still 0. 100 times 1 is 100. Go for it. Isaiah 30. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. You got time for another one?
Yes.
Secrets overcomers know. Kingdom stuff is eternal. Earth stuff is temporary. Kingdom stuff, eternal. Earth stuff is temporary. While we're stuck here, subject to this realm, the realities of this realm, we're caught in these earth suits, right? We have to live in these. Paul said, I live, although I live in the flesh. I'm living in this body, in this tent of a body. I don't wage war as the world wages. I'm living in the flesh, but I don't fight in the flesh. I fight in the spirit realm. So I'm caught here in this earth suit, but I invest in eternity. I'm living here, but I'm investing there. That requires a very particular kind of mindset. We have to get our focus right. Overcomers know this is a little brief sojourn, 70, 80, 90 years on this planet, and eternity. What we sow here has a major impact there. What we learn here launches us into where we go there. There is a constancy about we live here, and we're stuck here, we're stuck in time. The God who lives outside of time speaks to us in time. But when he's outside of time, he sees all of time as one. He sees it in one go. So we are stuck in time, and the Lord says, this is what happens, but you are stuck in time. You haven't yet walked into the fullness of what the Lord promised, and so you're still living out in time. If you are convinced that this earth stuff is real and is eternal, then you go, God is lying because he said this and this is my reality. There's a gap between what he said and what I'm experiencing. He must be wrong. But if you get your focus right, you go, his word is never true. Because this is what Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words, they're eternal. So the God who lives outside of time, the eternal God, at whose word everything trembles, he sustains the universe with his word. When he says this word to you, he says, this is what? This is a truth. And you can either cling to that and believe it and begin to function according to it, or you can believe your current set of circumstances, which are going to change, by the way. The giants you face today in 5 years' time you will not see. The pressures you're under today in 5 years' time will be different. So we fix our eyes, not here, but there. We can maintain only one focus at a time because this is a temporary reality. That's an eternal one. We choose to fix our focus in the eternal. When I fix my focus in the eternal, it helps me walk through the temporary. I'm one of those guys, if I'm on a small fishing boat, out on the ocean, I do not do well. And people say, well, take the Dramamine. The first little white speck that comes out is the Dramamine pill, right? It's not a good thing. And so you figure out when you're out in the ocean and you're going up and down, that you lie, and if you look at the bottom of the boat and you're just seeing the waves, it's the worst thing you can do. So they always tell you, just look at the horizon. And it, I must admit, does help. It's a little better because you look at the horizon, there's 1,000 waves between you and there, and you kind of get, well, okay. People who tend to get caught up in their temporary circumstances get really sick. When you lift your vision to the eternal, it steadies you. You're still going to hit all the waves. Still going to go through all the stuff you go through. But there's a steadiness to the people whose gaze is in eternity. Earth stuff is temporary. Kingdom stuff is eternal. So we fix our eyes on the kingdom stuff. That's what 1 John says. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If I came to you and said, I'm going to call you names, slap you in the face, even spit in your face for 1 week, and at the end of the week, I'll give you $1 billion. How many of you would sign up for the program? I think I could take it for a week. Our light and momentary afflictions are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory. But if your focus is on temporary, the light and momentary afflictions are not light and momentary. You go, this is too much. No, I can't take this. They spat in my face. We understand. See, if you understand this is temporary, that's eternal, then you fix your eyes there, not here. When you fix your eyes there, it makes this more bearable. It makes this calmer. The big dramas, the massive waves of this temporary nature, you look at them as very temporary. You go, okay, that's not great, but it's temporary. I understand the world and its desires will pass away. They are temporary, bold as they may present, all-encompassing as they may seem. Whoever does the will of God is going to be eternal. The world, its desires, its schemes, its efforts are temporary. They will pass away, but the kingdom will never pass away. It is therefore necessary for kingdom people to get in their hearts and minds, I will outlast this, I will outlive this, I will persevere. The only way I fail is I stop. But the moment I've made a choice, I am going to persevere, I'm going to keep going, no matter how pressured it is, that this world and its desires and its schemes must pass away. Kingdom people keep going. And so I persevere past the temporary. I put my focus in the eternal and I persevere past the temporary. Some are going through a tough patch right now. I'm sorry. Hang in. Weeping may last for the evening, but joy will come in the morning. There is a season now of weeping, maybe a season of sowing, but I'm just going to say to you, hang in. Don't give up. That's what Churchill said. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going, right? Don't stop. Just keep moving. And some of you are going through a tough patch. You go, this Christianity thing doesn't work. No. Obviously it works. You don't understand. Overcomers know. This is the best the enemy has, but it's temporary. He cannot sustain it. This world, the nature of this world and its desires pass away. It came to pass. Overcomers know they have to persevere. Perseverance must finish its work in you so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance must work in you. And for perseverance to work in you, it means you have to come under pressure for an extended period of time. Hello. 1 John 2, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Earth stuff, temporary. Kingdom stuff, eternal. Romans 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. The more earthbound my thinking, the less eternal it will be. So we need to elevate our hearts and minds, because overcomers set their hearts and minds in heaven for safekeeping. They set the gaze. They will not back down. They'll keep their focus in heaven. They will persevere past the temporary. I'm not going to let this temporary set of circumstances decide for me how I'm going to respond to the Lord right now. I am going to respond to the Lord in the way that He deserves to be responded to. I'm going to respond in faith. I'm going to look to Him with hope. I'm going to bless His name. I'm going to constantly give Him the fruit of lips that confess His name. You are faithful. You are true. You are loving. You never back down. You are always kind. I, in season and out of season, when it's convenient for me, when it's inconvenient for me, I'm gonna be consistent. I'm going to push past the temporary and I'm stay in the eternal. I keep my focus there and I keep pushing past the temporary and I elevate my heart and mind. I'm not going to let my heart be drawn to the things of this world. I'm not going to let my mind think, ooh, what goes on in this world is amazing. This planet has some unbelievable beauty. There's some majestic mountains and some waterfalls and some seas and some beaches and some... I mean, this is gorgeous. But the Bible says of where we're going, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. You're not even close to being even in the ballpark of understanding what it looks like there. Don't get too wrapped up in here. Oh, did you see? She's driving the new car. They have tile that's been imported from Mallorca. If you have that tile, bless you, it's wonderful. I'm not knotted. I mean, I'm not saying, I'm just going, sometimes we can get so infatuated with stuff that is so temporary. You hear about the rich man who said, the angel came and said, it's time to go. He goes, oh, no, can you just give me a week? Angel said, why? He says, I just want to gather some things to take with me. He says, okay. So he goes and he sells up all his worldly wealth and he gets gold ingots made. He's ready. Next week he's standing there, duffel bag full of gold bricks. Angel comes, goes, what's that? Goes, I just want to take it with me. It's paving stones. Why do you want to take paving stones with you? Overcomers set their hearts and minds where Jesus is. Colossians 3, since then you've been raised with Christ. Since this is true. He's not saying since this is going to be true. Since this has happened to you. Since this is your reality. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Not on earthly things. For you died. You died. Half the church did not realize they did. So goes the guys, yeah, you did. You died to this world. Paul said, I will not boast about anything except the cross of Jesus Christ through which the world was crucified to me and I to the world. You died. Set your mind on things above where you're already seated with Christ. Set your heart on things above. You did. There are some secrets overcomers know. And because they know them, they cause them to react and respond in things that are different to those who don't know them. If you know that God designed the season of tears to be the time where you sow. And some of you ought to get really busy right now. I think there are some people in this room, there is ground that has been waiting for your seed. And you need to go sow hope, and you need to sow great confessions, and you need to sow prayers, and you need to just sow them liberally. I think you need to have in your mind, if I got 100-fold, if I got 100 times of this, what would that be like? And sow with generosity and go way beyond what you could ever handle, because you need to get some so that you can give it away. And if you go, well, I've got enough, well, then sow 1,000 more so that I can give away 100,000. Because there's a world that's needing on the other side of this. There's a world that needs the demonstration of people who know their God. For the people who know their God will be great and do great exploits, the Bible says. So don't just ask enough for you. Ask enough for the world. Some people in this room, I kid you not, I just saw you need to take a bag of seed on both shoulders and just sow in the season of tears. Sow, pray, confess, speak hope. Well, that's hard work. Yeah, sowing is hard work. You think it happens? You don't just go to the seed, okay, go up and go and plant yourself. No, it's work. You have to work. Yeah, it's a good time though. And there's some of us who just need to understand that kingdom stuff is eternal. Earthly stuff is temporary. And we need to make some readjustments. You can tell, I could tell, that I'm badly adjusted when earth stuff has the power to discourage me. When earth stuff, temporary stuff, has the power to discourage you to the point where it starts affecting your eternal. You know, that's just silliness. I'm going to close this with an invitation. One of the best ways I know to encourage people is by mature prophetic ministry. That's what the gift of encouragement is for. For edification, exhortation, and comfort, for encouragement. Therefore, encourage one another. And so we're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to pray for all of us for these two issues, but I'm going to ask you, while we're praying, if you would just zero in on somebody sitting near you or around you or somewhere in the church and say, Lord, could you give me a word for them? And then while you're on your way out or during the next 10, 15 minutes, I want you to find them and tell them, this is what I feel like the Lord says to you. Is that fair? Father, we come in Jesus' name to say thank you. Thank you for your agenda this morning, Lord, is encouragement. And for those, Lord, who are in the season of tears, I thank you, Lord, that right now you would load them up with seed. I thank you, Lord, this season is for seed. And I thank you, Lord, that you've decreed not just a little reaping, but a grand reaping, a multiplied reaping of soil. And I pray, Lord, for those who are in that season, that you would, as they sow, Lord, they would find great joy even in the sowing in tears, that they'd go out, Lord, carrying seed to sow and come back with songs of joy. So, Father, release the songs of joy season that is about to come because of the faithfulness of the sowers in this room. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would give us great confessions and that we would be able to sow hope, Lord, into a hopeless world, and that we would be the people, Lord, who pray the prayers that launch something, that gives birth to something, not just, Lord, for our benefit, but for benefit of many others. We pray in Jesus' name and for Lord, those who've been caught up in the temporary more than the eternal, I pray, Lord, that you'd liberate them from that temporary place. And that, Father, we would get our focus right, and that you would help us to understand that this is just temporary. And that, Father, you could elevate our hearts and minds so that this world is strangely dim and your kingdom is gloriously bright. Now, Lord, we ask that you give us a word for somebody in this room. a word of encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.